Packers all the time.
He has come light years in the last 2 months, and people should be over the moon excited about that.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically, or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
Stayed up way too late last night watching the NFL draft and then reading reaction about the Packers pick in the NFL draft. I wonder if our friend and teammate Jason Wilde is the same. Good morning, Jason. Did you get a lot of sleep last night?
I walked out of Lambo at 12:01, so not a lot, no.
Yeah. But what was your reaction to the Packers pick?
Well, a couple things. I think, you know, there was... It felt like there was disappointment among Packers fans, at least some of them. And the fact that Cooper DeJean was there and they didn't pick him tells you again that as hard as we try to be insightful and put the pieces together, like, it's not great when everyone and their brother is mocking a player to a certain team and that player is there. And the team doesn't take him, right? I mean, clearly the Packers liked Jordan Morgan a hell of a lot more than they liked Cooper DeJean. Now, maybe Cooper DeJean is still, you know, maybe they're able to get him today in the second round. We'll have to wait and see. But I thought that was really interesting. I think, you know, I said this last night, like, with the last two drafts, I think you have to give Goody the respect to say he knows what he's doing. And not overreact. You know, I know Strofe was disappointed and some others were, but look, they needed a tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's anything about Jordan Morgan that makes it hard to like the pick. Like, I understand his arms aren't ideal length. I understand he had an ACL as a junior at Arizona, but it's hard to find guys that play that position and play it well, and if you have a chance to get one of them, it's hard to pass it up, and Goody did not.
Jason, I saw that Goody had a chance to move back and didn't. Mm-hmm. Was there a chance to move up?
So I asked him that. That was the last question last night, was about that. Mm-hmm. And because he had said, you know, as we talked about on Monday, that there was part of him that really wanted to make sure that he kept the four picks on day two. And he said that the conversation that they had was if there were a couple of players, specific players, who started to slide, that then they would explore going up. I didn't say who those players were, but he then said they didn't slide, so there were really no conversations to go up.
Do you have any guesses as to who, Jason?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I didn't, you know, my brain was kind of focused on Morgan and on kind of what's ahead. And so I didn't really spend much time thinking about it last night. I want to look back at the first 24 picks now and maybe get a better feel. But look, the quarterback thing and the fact that a bunch of defensive players got, you know, pressed down in the pecking order, you know, the fact that they took six quarterbacks in the first 12 picks, the fact that the first defensive player wasn't taken until, what, 15? I think that caused some things to trickle down to them that gave them some options. And, you know, even though there were a number of tackles that went, I thought the fact that, you know, Tyler Guyton was still on the board, obviously, Morgan was still on the board. You know, Guyton had come in for a visit. Mims had come in for a visit. Morgan had not. But I thought, you know, they got a shot at a tackle that maybe if all those quarterbacks don't go, he's already gone. And I also thought it was interesting that Goody did say, as you mentioned, that he had calls to move back and that they were at the point where they just really wanted Jordan Morgan, which I think tells you, again, that they saw tackle as a need, which we've kind of been talking about for weeks now, and that they really liked the guy. And so they stayed and they picked him. Now, that doesn't mean he won't move around today, up or down, but I just think that, you know, and I also thought it was interesting, you know, anytime a team moves right in front of you, it makes you wonder, okay, were they trying to get in front of you because of who you might pick? And I know we've talked before about how in 2020 there were multiple reports that the Packers wanted to take Brandon Ayuk, and then the 49ers moved in front of him, and then they took Love. But based on what Goody said, he made a comment about how teams are more willing to make trades within the division now. And I thought it was really interesting because he basically said that the Lions called them about going into 25 to try and get the corner. So I don't think that that was it either. I don't think that, like, had the Lions not moved up in front of them and taken Arnold, that they were going to take him. So I just think they got a guy that they really liked playing a position that they really need.
Well, is that position left tackle or right tackle, Jason?
It could be guard, too. Like they said, you know, basically Goody's message was he could play four positions, which I think we all know that means everything but center. We'll see. Like, I think they're going to give Rashid Walker to say, hey, good job drafting this Morgan kid, but I'm going to seize this position. And if we're being honest, one of the things that jumped out last season was that whole thing with Benno when I asked him in a press conference kind of midway through the season, you know, about Yash and, you know, basically why they weren't playing him at left tackle, given his experience. And Steno threw him under the bus and said that he didn't rise to the occasion for competition. Well, that means that Rashid Walker did a better job at doing that. And maybe Rashid Walker does that, and they don't play Jordan Morgan right away. We'll have to wait and see. But I don't know. Obviously, you know, we got a lot of mileage out of the Rob Domofsky, you know, moving Zach Tom to center. I don't think that that's what's going to happen here, but they added a guy that they feel like can play either guard and either tackle, and now they're going to see if he can play it right away.
Jason, what did you think of what the rest of the division did? Obviously, the Bears making big moves with those top picks. They got A's by most of the people who have, quote-unquote, graded the draft after round one. The Vikings obviously went out and got a quarterback. They have a lot of talent at the skill positions as well. How do you think, and again, Packers only made one pick, so I want to be clear that, you know, there's still plenty of time for them to make hay, but how do you feel about what the rest of the division did yesterday?
So you guys were talking about how Belichick really liked the Morgan pick, right?
Yeah.
He really liked the J.J. McCarthy pick, too. Did I see that correctly? I didn't see him. That was not what we had on at Lambeau, so I didn't see it in real time. But I saw on social media there was some talk about how Belichick really likes McCarthy. Is that true?
I did not see that personally.
I can confirm.
There was so much content being kicked out last night, by the way, with the draft, yeah. the College Game Day draft coverage on ABC,
yep.
with the ESPN draft coverage
yep.
on ESPN, with the McAfee draft
yep.
coverage. You could also go to your favorite podcasters who were also covering
NFL
it.
Network.
We were covering the draft from Q Club last
ESPN
night. There was just a lot of content to consume.
So if that's the case, and again, I didn't see it live, and I really was kind of helter-skelter with trying to get a bunch of stuff done and actually get a story written for the print edition, which I with the gene still falling or being available, I wrote it as if he was going to be the pick. So I'm glad I didn't file that because that would have been wrong. Dewey defeats Truman-ish. Look, Belichick seemed to, again, my understanding is he praised the J.J. McCarthy pick, and he certainly knows a hell of a lot more about ball than I do. But I don't know about you. I don't love McCarthy, and I don't love Penix.
I'm with you.
I thought it was interesting that Raheem Morris specifically cited the Packers' technique with quarterbacks, if you will. for the reasoning behind drafting Penix when they just signed Kirk Cousins. Also saw reports that Kirk Cousins was disappointed, much like I think Aaron Rodgers was that night in 2020. But not all six of these quarterbacks are going to turn out to be good. And I think that this is, again, further evidence that, you know, and I said this to Goody when I asked my question about the quarterbacks pushing other players down the board and making them available, when in a normal draft where maybe they don't, these guys don't roll the dice on so many quarterbacks, those guys aren't there, but they've got their guy. Jordan is good. Is he great? Is he Hall of Fame? All those things, who knows? But I think his floor is established that he's pretty good. And the Packers didn't need a quarterback like all these other desperate teams. And so, but now, you know, I'm sure we can rewind to three short years ago and, you know, Jets fans, and I wonder what the grade was that the Jets got after the first round for taking Zach Wilson. And he obviously was nowhere near good enough. So I when I look at what the Vikings did, you know, look, I'm not, I am not a J.J. McCarthy fan. I just don't know how good he really is. And if I'm wrong, that'll be great for the Vikings. I will say this, and I said it at the end of our show, and Tausch got after me, but this is everybody who questions, oh, Wilde says he's not a fan, but he really is. This was probably a moment where, if you've ever wondered about that, I probably kind of proved my point. I said that I want Caleb Williams to be good because I want Packers-Bears to mean something and be compelling and be exciting, and there to be this, you know, this was probably a little bit of hyperbole, but maybe it wasn't. You know, I want it to be like Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, right? Caleb Williams, Jordan Love. And the fact that the Packers under Matt LaFleur are 10-0 against the Bears, he's never lost to the
Bears. That rules, Jason. That rules. I just want to get that in there before you say whatever you're going to say. I'm just going to say that rules.
Good for you. Go Pack, go, bro. But for me, I think it's a hell of a lot more interesting if this long dormant rivalry where there was just a window where Lovie Smith said the number one priority was not to win the Super Bowl, but was to beat the Packers. Other than that window, that for the last 30 years, that rivalry has sucked. I'm sorry. For me, as a storyteller, as someone who seeks out compelling angles to the football season every year, I hope Caleb Williams is really good, and I hope Jordan Love is really good. And those teams are battling every year for playoff positioning and division titles. I don't know if that's going to happen, but the Bears have certainly – I do think it's important to remember, and I know you guys know this, but you always think, well, they've got the first overall pick, their team sucks. But the Bears weren't great, but they won 7 games, and they've put together a lot of good players. And if Caleb Williams is as can't-miss as we've been told he is, then things could get really interesting. And I think, personally, as a reporter, that's going to be fun.
Jason, I don't have the greatest memory. You know that. But wasn't the fan base upset when they didn't take, the receiver, Watson, in the first round, and then Goody traded up to get him? Could he redeem himself by doing the same thing and going up and getting, because I'm looking best player available, DeJean Newton, the tackle out of Illinois, or Kool-Aid.
Like Newton.
Is there a good chance that he does that again and everyone's like, great pick, wonderful?
Yeah, I think so. And again, they obviously, you know, air quotes, trust their board. And so clearly those three players who are all good college players, there's no denying that. And whoever gets those three guys today will be really excited about them, right? And they'll have gotten them in the second round, which will be good value. Yes, they absolutely could. Remember, the Christian Watson story was the Packers tried to trade with the Vikings to get to 32. The Vikings had the last pick of the first round, and the Vikings said no. But they also had the 34th overall pick, and to start day two, the Packers went up, and then they took Watson. And so, you know, is DeJean going to last till 41, or is Newton, or is Kool-Aid? my gut tells me no. And so is Goody willing to give up, you know, a fourth round pick to go up enough spots to get one of those three? Again, I don't know who he really likes. I feel like, you know, Newton sure seems to me like, for a team that has not signed Kenny Clark to an extension, for a team that, while they took Carl Brooks and Colby Wooden last year, is going to have some needs on the defensive line going forward, he seems like a guy that could fit them pretty well. He's a really good player at Illinois. So is that the target? Is the gene the target? I don't know, but Goody did say very clearly last night that they are willing to move here on day two. And if he can do that and not have to give up any of the four picks he has tonight, like obviously to move higher with one of them, but if he's giving up day three picks to accomplish that, I think that's the ideal scenario, because I do believe, and I did not believe this going in, we have a promo that plays that, you know, is me saying, I don't think he's going to pick all five picks he's got right now. When I walked out of Lambeau on Monday after his presser, I was convinced that he felt like, look, having five picks in the first 91, I want to get out of the first 2 days with five players, because I really do believe that he has had this kind of come to Jesus moment that it is a young man's game, and that he is going to keep building the roster with younger and younger players that are going to play right away. If you guys go back to Monday, I think Josh, he's probably got the clip, but I asked him about that, and he basically said that last season confirmed what he'd always believed, parentheses, but that he wasn't able to do much about because he had an aging quarterback and a lot of veterans on his team. And that was that if you draft guys and you play them early and you live through their early growing pains, that they come out a lot better on the other side. And I think that means that tonight he will most likely take four players, because he wants those guys of that caliber of the draft pick to get the chance to play and go through growing pains and then be really good players after that.
As a reminder, that's 41, 58, 88, and 91, the second and third round picks for the Green Bay Packers. Jason, great stuff. We appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a good one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Are you guys able to go back to sleep after you've been up? Because I was thinking about trying to do that, and I don't think I can do it. I figure I'm just going to walk the dogs and work out. Are you guys able to do that? Or
negative,
that
Ghost Rider.
No.
I can sleep anytime, anywhere. Not a big deal.
Sick brag.
Okay. It is pretty sweet.
Take a good nap during the next
It's pretty sick.
Jason, we'll talk to you soon. Jason Wilde can be heard on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on ESPN Milwaukee. We got to get to Craig Karmazin. I wonder his thoughts on the draft. And, of course, the Bucks in action as well. Let's hear how he's feeling about where the Bucks stand as they are now in Indianapolis as that series continues. Gabe?
Is your business looking for localized banking solutions and a strategic partner? Fifth Third Bank has been looking forward to the future and helping businesses shape what's next for 165 years and for the last 15 right here in Milwaukee. They offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making capabilities, and extensive experience to help navigate the complexities of a constantly changing business marketplace environment. With your business in mind, Fifth Third is big enough to provide sophisticated solutions and expert guidance, but also empowered to make local decisions and work from a foundation of strong community connections. Commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.